This contract has to be extended, or because.
Where was the problem? And we are trying to look into that and to place responsibility and accountability as to where it should be, because it ought to have been completed. So one of my roles is to follow up on that and to try to establish what has went wrong, and then we will need to take out the stop from that Chairperson. And we made a commitment to go and explore that and to find out why was it not done within the stipulated time period.
Yes. Mr. Mahota, any follow-up question before you go? After his finding, will they report back to the committee?
We can certainly do that, Chairperson.
When will that be finalized?
The commissioner has requested an investigation. He's got an external investigator to come in to look at the whole management of the contract.
Oh, it's not internal investigation.
No, it's an external. An external investigation.
No, that's fine.
Looked
yeah.
at the entire management of the contract.
Oh,
we're not
okay.
only focusing on one aspect.
Yes.
It would be difficult for me to predict and preempt.
Yes.
But
yes.
the fact that it's gone externally means that we're taking this quite seriously.
Yeah. Thanks. Then Mr. Sells, Ms. Ngwenya, Mr. Kipili.
Thank you very much indeed, Chairperson, and thank you for the explanation so far. May I just ask a couple of questions? First of all, follow up on the question of the feasibility. This contract was awarded for the first time in 2004. Then in 2005, it was admittedly extended to encompass a number of satellite correctional centers. The extension of that contract was worth 82 million rand. Then it was extended again at the end of 2007, in July 2007 for 12 months, and now it's been extended to the end of July 2008 for a further 6 months. Was there a feasibility study done prior to 2004? Was there a feasibility study done prior to the extension, the administrative extension of the contract? was there a feasibility study done in prior to the end of the contract in 2007? And was there a feasibility study done now? Because it seems to me that this is a case of closing the stable when the horse is already bolted. That's the first question that I'd like to ask. The second question that I'd like to ask, and you referred earlier to the media report. There is a media report in which reference is made to a letter which the newspaper apparently has a copy of, that's written from a minister to the commissioner, and in which the minister gives very clear instructions to the commissioner on how this feasibility study should be done. I would like to know from the department whether this is in line with the Public Finance Management Act, which seems to locate the responsibility for the awards of these sorts of contracts and matters related thereto firmly in the hands of the accounting officer, who in this particular case happens to be the National Commissioner. I want to know what the role of the Minister is in this particular process. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. South. Mr. Ngwenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, this issue make me angry because you look like rubber stamp as this portfolio committee. I want to know from the department that when this tender starts, did they come to us? Is it any presentation that was made by that concurrent in front of us? Two, Chairperson, on page 10, this contract looks like was saving only seven management areas. How many prisons do we have? Why was allocated only for seven? And also, I want to know that is it correct to utilize the budget for the Department of Correctional Services for outsourcing services instead of building the department capacity to deliver nutritional service, which is its constitutional mandate? And how much money is spent on outsourcing of nutritional service and tendering by the Department of Correctional Services? Also, Chairperson, I would like to know that who is catering for the inmate when this tender was expired? I want to stop there, but I still have more questions.
Yes, you will ask questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Ngwenya. Mr. Kipido? Use this
mic. Thank you. I would like to have some more clarity on the reference that was rudely made to the multiple bidders. Now, the question is, when you refer to multiple bidders, will this mean that different bidders can bid for different management areas? Or does it also mean that at one management area, more bidders may bid to supply different supply lines at a management center? And once this made clear in the tender document, the tender application document. Thank you, Bill.
You know, I've asked Cindy to distribute the tender document. Do we have copies?
Yeah.
The specification. Do you have it? Okay. Yes. Yeah. For information for the members. Yeah. Thanks, Cindy. Ms.
Chairperson, thank you. The feasibility study, is that still going to proceed? If so, how is it going to affect the tender process on the go at the moment? And at what stage, what is the closing date of the tender process?
Thanks, Ms. Christian. Over to the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. South, in terms of your question, the feasibility, I think I'm going to respond in totality. The answer is there was no feasibility study done from prior to 2004. Ideally, there ought to have been a feasibility, but it was never done. The contract went straight into the process. And it is for this reason when the...
Mutli, sorry to interrupt. Why was there never been a feasibility study?
Chairperson, that is a very difficult question for me to answer. I have no, I'm not aware, but Mr. Ngubu may be able to give us an indication of that.
Please, yeah.
You know, members, I think that we must once and for all dig deep into this thing.
No.
So that we mustn't come back anymore to this thing, because this thing makes me very much uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I agree with what Ngwenya is saying. This thing makes me very, very, very much unhappy. That we are coming back. You see, Mr. Self is saying, we are dealing with a thing that you have already decided upon. You have signed a six-month contract. With other words, you are saying, no, they can call us. We have already decided. No, we are going, today, we are going to dig deep into this thing. Let's have the truth, and you must tell us the truth.
Yeah.
Thank you, honorable members. From what I can recall, there was no specific reason why the feasibility study could not be done before the award for going out on outsourcing the nutrition. I don't have the answer for that. It's just that the need has been raised that looking at the requirements and looking at the conditions of our kitchens and the shortage of staff, those have been raised as the motivation to outsource. But the reason why that was not preceded by a feasibility study, I don't have an answer.
Okay.
Yes,
please.
Yes, thanks. No, I think, Chairperson, there have been gaps, as you may also realize that there's a gap with this thing of moving back and forth, whether we extend to do the feasibility before we move on and so on. There have been gaps of non-compliance since that period. The issues of outsourcing coming into government, and also people adhering to the guidelines that have been set, that if you go out on a tender that this big, you need to do a feasibility study. Yes, I think the colleagues are correct that there have been errors of non-compliance. Hence, before the extension, the commissioner then instructed to say, let's rather, because the period, the process is running without us having done a proper feasibility, let's establish a task to assess, to go out and actually look and assess and have a report before we can say we extend. Let's rather have a report rather than just extending without doing a thorough feasibility study. And I think that's the point at which we realized that we needed expertise from outside, and the tender specs were not done. Then the process started of trying to compile the tender specs. So I think there have been those gaps in the process, which we are trying right now to correct. Unfortunately, we're correcting this at the expense of the process of extending one contract as we move forward. But we really want to close down on that matter, that we put everything above board.
You see, Mr. Zeta, 2006-2007,
this contract has expired. The department knew very well that this thing is going to expire by the 31st of July, 2006, 2007. We are now 2008, and it's again been extended for 6 months. Why did you not advertise or do feasibility studies? I'm talking
I know that you are new, Mr. Moodley. The commissioner himself, Mr. Peterson, is new. He started last year in May. I'm asking 2006 to 2007, why did the department not advertise this tender? Now again, with other words, it's 18 months that this Busasa company is getting this tender. It's against our constitution. Mr. Self has just read the paragraph there of the PFMA. And in the constitution, it's section 217. In the constitution.
When an organ of state in the national, provincial, local sphere of government or any other institution defined in national legislation contracts for goods or services, it must do so in accordance with a system which is fair, equitable, transparent, competitive, and cost-effective. None of the above apply in this particular extension.
There's no fairness in this whole thing. I mean, one company is getting 18 months without advertising, giving other people. And you know, the policy of this government is black economic empowerment. Who are we empowering yet? One certain company, it's not correct. It's not.
Please don't be angry, Shepherd. We're trying to correct, and you're assisting us to do that.
Okay.
No, I think the all the answers that are being asked, as Ms. Moodley has indicated, will be subject of this investigation that the Commissioner is instituting, because we need to get to the bottom of saying what went wrong from the onset, and then how are we going to remedy that. But in the process, we are saying let's close down, that no further extensions, no further contracts would be issued without following the proper procedure, but close that part with an investigation and consequences where necessary for those who would be held responsible based on the results of the investigation itself. And we know, Chairperson, the Commissioner also in this House indicated the involvement of external investigative capacity of government, like the SIU, into some of his contracts in the department. I'm not saying specifically this one, but I'm saying a number of the contracts within the department that are under investigation. But administratively, internally, we're also instituting that to check to say what went wrong. Why was there no feasibility study? Why was the why was it extended without a feasibility study to opt for a fair process? So I think those reports would be able to give answers. Then we could be able to take the process forward from there.
Thanks. Any other question to answer?
Yeah, and the issue of the, let me just maybe go straight to the issue of the media, of the media reports and so on. Yes, indeed, the accounting officer is the one that needs to lead in terms of the PFMA and in terms of his responsibilities as an accounting officer. And as we may all be aware, of course, that our political heads would be concerned when things are not running and not happening, and would want to inquire as to what exactly happened. We confirm that there is a letter that the minister has written, and if the minister wishes to share that with the committee or the chairperson, I think that could be asked from the minister to share that in terms of what is it exactly that he was saying to the commissioner. In that letter, what guidance and leadership was he trying to give to the accounting officer? Because also in his political accountability portfolio, he needs to be able to guide and give leadership on those matters. Of course, they may not see things in the same way. The minister may say, run this way, and the commissioner may say, in terms of the responsibilities bestowed on me by the Public Finance Management Act, and this is the correct process that we need to follow. So they may not see those issues in the same way or with the same outlook, because the minister may be eager to say, let's run with this, and the commissioner says, but this is the process, these are the steps that needs to be followed. So, but I think the correspondence that was between the minister and the commissioner is something that between them they could share with the committee or with the chairperson. How it got to the media is unfortunate. We don't know how the internal correspondence of the department landed up in the media, if they have it, because they claim that they have that. So we don't know. Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Tetan. Member? Question?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Ms. Ngwenya, in terms of the, I can understand your anger. It can be quite frustrating coming back and asking the same questions. But I think, Chairperson, to you, it's important that while it appears that nothing may have been done from February till now, it's safe to say that a lot of processes have been underway. The tender did not stop to a point where there was no services provided. What we had done is timelessly extended the tender for 6 months because we have to make sure that the needs of the offenders are met. We wouldn't have been able to just stop it. There would have been some serious consequences. We would not have been able to provide the meals to the offenders. So this is why we went for the shortest possible route of 6 months. Why the seven management areas were identified, they're the larger management areas. If you look at the document, you will see. This came in the wake, as Ms. Ngubo alluded to, it came in the wake of the beginning of the seven-day establishment and the three-meal system. According to the Act, we have to ensure that three meals are being provided with specific time limits. And because this matter was still in consultation with the unions and with the management areas, we found that in the bigger management areas, due to staff constraints and a number of issues, these management areas would not have been in the position to have adhered to the Act. So therefore, those seven management areas were identified. And there were a number of other factors that were looked at in terms of the state of conditions, in terms of the quality of staff, the lack of having dietitians, because these are certain requirements for the provision of food. So therefore, those seven management areas were identified to provide the service. We have 242 correctional centers, but seven management areas were identified for that reason. Is it correct to utilize outsourcing or to utilize DPS resources? I think that is what the feasibility study is going to help us to identify. It relates to Mr. South's question. We want to do the right thing now. We want to engage in the feasibility study to get value for money and to see to which facilities would it be most suitable, to which facilities would we be able to provide our own services. And Chairperson, one of the things we also want to explore is to what extent can we provide our own produce to the offenders, because we must note that our facilities, our agricultural facilities are not all over the country. We only have a limited few. So that would restrict us in those areas as well. So in terms of your questions, that would be my response to that. In terms of how much is spent on the outsourcing, Chairperson, with your permission, I hope that you would respect if we cannot respond to that, because
Let me explain it.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson.
You know that now this tender out, and if they are going to tell us now, people who is bidding the missing wing will now say, oh, this is the amount, and let's respect that and say they can tell us where the media is not. In a close meeting, and I will ask you to respond to that question of Ms. Ngwenya after the meeting. Is that fine with you, Ms. Ngwenya?
Yes, fine.
Yeah. So that we can have the figure of media.
Yes, please.
Thank you, honorable members. Regarding the awarding multiple awards, we clearly indicated that each and everyone that is interested in tendering to all, he can tender to all, but we reserve the right to award one per management area, which would actually be fair, unlike previously where all seven were actually given to one service provider. And the closing date for this tender is the 29th of September, 2008.
Let me have a follow-up on that one. Seven. Say, for instance, Dennis win one, he can't have another one, or another one, and another one. It must only be one. Clarity on that.
You understand the question?
You understand the question. No. If Dennis
yes.
wins one Johannesburg, he can't have Pretoria.
No, he can't have Pretoria.
Or so, with other words, it's seven companies that will have chance to cater.
Yes.
That's clarity. You see, Mr. Ngugu, we don't want to come back again next year and find that one company is having three. That's why I'm asking clarification, so that you must give us clarification on this.
Ms. Sibylla is also having a follow-up on that.
On that, Chairperson, what though if for some reason you don't get another tender in another area, surely then you would need to look at granting to somebody.
Yeah, Ms. Wenya, the follow-up on that one, yeah.
Yeah, Chairperson, it's a follow-up on my question.
Yes.
In terms of this 7 management. Chairperson, for me, I'm not clear, and I don't understand what the department is saying. Unless they come up with something that is written down that is black and white, in terms of programming this, in terms of their program, of how are they issuing this tender to different tenders.
Companies.
Because I'm worried, you know, Chairperson. To me, it looks like this tender was a pilot. You know, when you've got 242 presence and have a tender that is catering for these seven, not only one province. You get me, Chairperson?
Yes.
And you don't get even a report that on these seven prisons, how is this tender doing? Are we losing?
Sorry, can you come sit this side? Somebody is sitting
there. No, Chairperson, that's why I said I don't understand because I don't get that. Is it the government losing or winning? And that report must come in black and white. That from 2007 up to 2008, as this tender was working like this, this is what is happening. Do we need it or not? Or do we need more or not? It's not clear, Chairperson. And now they are saying one company, one province. Even that, Chairperson, is, to me, is just a guessing answer. The department, they are not ready to give us really answer that we want in terms of this tendering. I'll comment that, Chairperson, the department, they must go back. We're not yet getting the really answer that we want, according to me, personally, Chairperson. This is not the answer that we really
want on this thing of the tender. Because now they wait for the tender to be finished and come back to us. How are we going to assist them if it's like that? I thank you.
Yeah, no, I understand your question very well, Ms. Ngwenya. Evaluation of value for money. That is what Ms. Ngwenya needs. The seventh management area, yes. We are having 241 prisons. How do you evaluate? That is what Ms. Ngwenya is asking. Value for money. You understand what Ms. Ngwenya has asked. And it's a valid question and a very good question. This 200 and whatever million that you are doing, how do you evaluate? Because there's other prisons there. And even bigger than some of this. Modabi, there's bigger prisons as Modabi. There's bigger prisons. Modabi is one of this. It's Grootvlei, yes? Yeah? Grootvlei is not here. Is Grootvlei not bigger than Modabi? Grootvlei is bigger than Modabi. So I'm saying that the question that Mangwenya is asking is a relevant question. But you'll respond, Mr. Tsele.
Thanks, Chairperson. I would have thought that the department will come with evidence that will convince the committee to remove that city. But to me, they don't have the evidence. The reason why I'm saying this is that I'm just thinking as we talk here, where we're coming from. We are not having the prisons now or after 1994. We've been having prisons before 1994. And who was supplying the inmates with food? To me, food was supplied by the prisoners themselves. Now, we are told that some centers don't have agricultural farms and whatnot, but they were supplied during those times. And there were no shortages at all. Another issue that makes me to say this is that they don't give us a figure that tells us that these are so many offenders that have benefited through this program that we are having now of outsourcing. Or these are the officers or officials who have benefited. What are they getting out of that outsourcing? Are they getting certificates or rewards? We don't get that information from the department. Another thing that worries me, the department, to me, seems as if they sometimes ignore or they do deliberate, I don't know, the policies of the department itself. When it comes to procurement, well, what does it say regarding the extension of tender? Our policy on procurement, what does it say? Because we need to know all those things as the committee. And also the department, if they can provide us as the committee with the information that says relating to how much the service provider is using in electricity, water and labor, and who pays for all those things? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very, very important question. Remember, Ms. Chikunga have sent an apology to say that she will be late. She has joined us now, but late. She was in a WIT meeting this morning. That's why she came in late. But she's here. And Ms. Chikunga, you're welcome. You must participate in the meeting. Very important question. That Mr. And we really need that the answer. Who is paying for water? Who is paying for electricity? Who is paying for labor in this whole contract of it? Mr. Self?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd just like to get some clarity around the approval for the extension of contract. It's clear from the presentation that was made here this morning that the approval for the extension of the contract from the 1st of August 2007 to the 31st of July 2008 was taken by the National Bid Adjudication Committee, and likewise the 6-month extension was taken by the National Bid Adjudication Committee. But I want to refer back to the extension of the contract that took place in 2005. where the contract HK2 of 2004 was extended to a number of satellite centres of the four management areas concerned at a value of 82 million rand. And I want to know who took that decision to extend that contract and why were those satellite prisons not included in the original specification?
Thanks. Over to you, Department, Mr. Tetani.
Thank you very much, Chair Patrick. Maybe just to start with one question that was outstanding from Ms. Sitchin, whether the feasibility study is going to affect this current tender.
Your mic is on.
Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, the fact that whether the feasibility study is going to affect this tender process. Our expectation is that it's not going to affect it. It's not going to affect it because we want that in the period that this tender is running, we should be able to do a feasibility study to answer all these questions that the honourable members are asking. So, to determine if we extend to all, what is it going to cost us? Are we going to get value for money? And what is the benefit that will go to our staff and the offenders in terms of transference of skills and things like those, whether we are going to be ready to take over if we feel that there's no need for outsourcing, we need to take over and run these facilities, the feeding facilities ourselves. So I think it's going to touch on all those issues. So we're saying if the tender runs for 3 years, we'll be in a position that if in the first year it tells us that we're not getting value for money, we need to take over, then we've got 2 years to prepare ourselves, train our people, get everybody ready, and take over the processes for us to run. So we don't foresee that actually stopping the process going forward. The concern is noted from the Honorable Mengwenya that we are not giving the exact answers to the questions they would want to hear around whether is it the right direction we are taking to outsource and so on. And we are really hoping that the feasibility study would be able to give us that. But the survey and the assessment that we have done, we have seen an improvement. I think the report that we've got, where we've got the surveillance cameras, the monitoring, because there are a number of things that happen in the prison kitchen. It's smuggling of food, it's pilferage, and all those things. So if you, the current system, and it has indicated that there has been an improvement. Also, the problems you would experience is the health conditions. If you don't outsource, for instance, you go through public works. If a hole in the kitchen, you can take up to 12 months to fix that with the processes that public works follow. But if this is part of the contract, that if the stove breaks down, you've got an agreement, a clause in the contract that it must be replaced within 24 hours. And then the tender at the risk of us waiting for two stoves that are not working, waiting for months and months and months, asking public works to replace them, because it's not our buildings, it's public works buildings. If that clause in there, the risk has been taken away from correctional services, and the replacement would be immediate, because it's part of the penalty clause if they don't do that. And certainly we've seen an improvement with the three meal system in terms of the act, that we provide meals at the intervals at which we need to provide meals, and there needs to be of the standard, a health standard that is expected as set out by the Department of Health. They've got their own dietitians and so on, so they are able to give the nutrition as required. So we certainly, from the report we've received, certainly saw that there have been improvements, and it's in these big areas where we had problems and had challenges in terms of the conditions of kitchens and so on. I think the value that we can say we have received from this tender is the revamping of the whole kitchen and putting those surveillance
to stop the corruption and the smuggling that normally happens there. There has been added value. But I think the critical issue was the quantification of saying you need an expert to quantify all of that. And the reports that we have received around the transference of skills indeed indicate that there has been an improvement in terms of the skills transfer. So what we really need to pin down is having an expert that would do the value for money assessment in the manner that it needs to be done to present a report, to put the report on the table. I think the issue of the Mother B and other areas, I think the issue was looking at the influx, the number of people, and also not having all of them in Gauteng, because it could have spread to other areas in Gauteng, but it was to look at various other areas. So I'm just responding to this generally, but I think my colleagues on the specifics, some of which Honorable Zelle and Honorable Self have raised around these satellites and so on. Maybe Mr. Ngubo would have to respond to that.
Regarding the extension of contract and what the policy says, our policy does make provision for the extension of contract. And but also, having said that, is that we get practice notes that guide the department when they do so. And before the extension of this particular contract, the commissioner extensively consulted, among others, National Treasury and Auditor General. And those practice notes are saying that if you find yourself in a situation where you have to extend the contract, you have got an obligation to inform them, which he did in writing both to National Treasury and to Auditor General. And regarding the beneficiaries...
Sorry, Mr. Ngubo, why did he find himself in a position to extend the contract? What is the the policy is saying he can do it. What was the reason for him finding him in this position?
I think it's for the reasons that we have put here, at the time the feasibility study had not been conducted, and if the department did not extend the contract, said okay, now you are not extending, you are taking over, it means that because where this contract is not operating, there are also contracts. They buy through contracts, which means that we have prepared ourselves to have contracts in place. Otherwise, we have to buy on quotation. And buying on quotation is much more expensive than having a contract running for a period. So that would have been the implication.
You see, the problem that I have is here, it's in a reply to a parliamentary question. And it says here how the main objective that was of the contract was to outsource the services of the larger management areas to include the highest possible number of offenders. However, the department omitted to include all satellites of the identified management areas when bids were invited. This was rectified afterwards by extending the contract within the parameters of the directive. Now, if I was a suspicious person, I would say that the original contract was drawn up without those and then was administratively extended by a value of over 82 million rand to the benefit of the one contractor who'd already got the contract. Now, what are you doing to allay my suspicions that that is in fact what happened?
I think what happened in the tender document, it was referring to management areas. And if I can recall, I think that would be maybe my colleagues would also add more, is that some centers, when we're talking about management areas, I'm just going to make an example now, like Pretoria Management Area, which also include OD and also Atteridgeville. So initially, when they implemented this they only look at Pretoria management as if they are looking at the center that is medium A, medium B, but excluding Attridgeville in terms of definition of a management area, it includes Attridgeville and also Audi. Then they corrected that and then they included them, but not actually saying we are extending the contract.
Yes, Mr.
Can I just come in? No, I think the question that the honourable members are asking will help us as well. That when we do the investigation, those question marks that are there should be subject of the investigation as well. Because the administratively, the response that would have is exactly what Mr. Ngubo is saying. Because when we reorganized, the satellites were not part of a certain management area. So when we reorganized and Audi and Attridgeville became part of the Pretoria management area, then the service was extended there. But the underlying issues between the lines, as the honourable member is saying, are questions that would help us to say that part of the investigation should include looking at whether there was no foul play in extending the contract for the same provider without going out on tender. I think that would, those questions would help us. Yeah.
Yeah. Continue, sir, with a response.
The beneficiaries. We know that part of the contract is that they need to train inmates, and there is accredited training which they provide. Just that we did not bring that statistics, but as Mr. Zesani indicated, that they were responsible to do sort of an audit of how many people have benefited from this, how many inmates, and all that. That information is available. It can be made available.
Mr. Kelef asked, who is paying for water? Who is paying for electricity? Who is paying for labor in this contract? Who is paying for those things?
If you can't respond to it, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. If you can't respond, we are not going to cut your head off. If you say we can't respond to that one, it's fine.
Chairperson, maybe it would be proper for me to say we can't respond to that.
Thank
one.
You very much. That's an honest answer. That's a very honest answer. Now, you see, the question comes now. Yeah. How did you evaluate to say this is a cost-effective thing? When labor is not there, when water is not there, when electricity is not there, how will you determine this is value for money? But you have already answered.
Yeah.
You have already answered. Yeah. Yes.
Chair, may I add, I think it's for that very reason that the feasibility study and the value for money is so critical, and that is why we have not been able to finalize that, because it's an intricate study that requires real serious financial expertise and knowledge on this. Because really, when you look at value for money, you have to look at all the little things that go into this contract. So all of these overheads and all of these little things, because you look, what is the department paying, what will the contractors be paying, and where does the value for money come in? So those are very critical things that we ourselves want to be able to identify and separate and segregate to say, what can we do, what can they do, and what will the value add be, if any? And that feasibility study will hopefully help us to be able to do that. And emanating from that, we'll be able to say, do we go on it on our own, or do we bring in an outsourcing, given the benefits that they are, but what will the value add be? Because it has to be cost-effective. It must be a cost efficacy for us as well. Thank you, Chair.
Member,
thank you, Chair. I just want to ask one final question about the task teams, and I think we have a little bit better clarity about all the various task teams and what the the task teams of tasks to do. But as I understand it, there is now a task team that is set up, which consists of Ms. Moodley and a variety of other people. Now, again, and I come back to the media report, is that the same task team that the minister is allegedly wanting to establish, led by the regional commissioner, Patrick Gillingham? Is it now subsumed? Is it now a consensus product that we now have? Because you see, my difficulty is that, according to my information, Mr. Gillingham was very much involved in the awards and adjudication of previous contracts of this nature. And it would seem to me that at least on the surface there might be a conflict of interest, at the very least. I'd like the department's reaction to that.
Yes, before that respond, Mr. Bishop Toller, yes, I might.
If I'm wrong, you'll correct me. I understand the question raised from Comrade Kwele. When the department said difficult to answer that question, why? Because we just want to know. According to me, they must answer. If we want to know, they must answer. If they don't give us answer, what is wrong? What is wrong? Is something wrong underground or what? What is it? I think it's very important to tell us why they must answer the question.
Let me try to help you. You continue. You see what we are going to do with that answer, Bishop. Sure.
Yeah.
We will call them when we want a meeting. They must come and tell us about the feasibility study.
Okay.
Mm. Then they will come and tell us about that answer.
Okay.
Then they will have papers in front of them. We'll call them again, Bishop. Sure.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson. You know, Chairperson, it's not a question, but it's a comment. Yvette, about yourself.
I want to tell you.
The variety as almost 800 that the lot of strong hand the two.
When we visit prison.
The mensen wat dat betrong werk en heilt het zij, de leer van hen, en het doen enige ding zonder samen met elkaar te praten.
The staff is saying, they are complaining to say that the leadership of correctional services doing things, they are not consulting them.
In andere woorden, wanneer was ze hier geweest, en ze zal zijn, als jelle zei, jelle krijgt wonderlijk met de andere groepen, wat ze zomaar doen zonder het comité. Maar andere woorden is wat altijd wat ons voor jelle zei. Die mensen hebben het doen werk zonder.
If the staff was here present today, they would have said, you see what we are telling you all the time. The leadership of the department is doing things without us knowing about the things.
Yeah, you see, no, the onslaught is the same thing. The onslaught is the same thing.
Yeah,
I think, you know, but as we start to go into the trunk, as we have to lead them, as we try to help for them to help. But now, you can see how so they make.
We try to cool them down, the staff, when they want to fight. But now it's clear, everybody can see what is happening.
Thank you very much. Please, sir, respond.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Now, let me maybe start from the comment of the Honorable Bishop that we do everything in our power just to try and consult. And I'm aware that we are dealing with a process that started some years ago that was flawed. It's clear that it was flawed, hence all the investigations and all the energies that we put in behind this process to correct it, so that moving forward we do things correctly. But it's not intended to evade or be elusive and don't want to respond to questions that are raised by the committee itself. but we are unraveling something that has been established for some years ago and with its own flaws, maybe just to allay the fears and the concerns of the bishop, to say it is indeed from the leadership of the department. There is a commitment for us to consult, open up, you know, put things as they are, and I think we've indicated that trend even since Mr. Peterson was appointed, that we really wanted to open up to get the assistance of the committee to take this process forward, and with the former acting commissioner as well, Sis Jabu, that was the trend of trying to get assistance from the committee, and would continue doing that. Maybe just then to come to the issues of the task teams quickly. The task team that is referred to in the media that was supposed to be chaired by the Mr. Gillingham, is the task team that was proposed by the minister when he said, let's do the feasibility study, let's get a task team together that will do the tender specs and so on, and these are the names of the people that I want to see. And then with the interaction with the commissioner and other senior managers of the department, then there was a consensus task team. This is the one that now is led by Ms. Mutli. So the task team that was proposed by the minister was merged with some of the proposals that the commissioner had put forward to say this is how it would work better based on the following reasons and motivations, better structured this way. But we note and we take note of the comment of saying if you have a person that has been part of this process, evaluating the tenders, managing it, and that person still is put on the task team, there may be a conflict of interest. So we take note of that. I think it's a matter that from our side as a department would have to take back to the minister and the commissioner to say these are the concerns that are raised by the committee. We need to apply our minds to it and see whether it would be transparent, it would be fair for us to have Mr. Gillingham, who's been part of this whole process from inception up to this point, also advising, sitting on a committee that needs to advise on how to take the process forward. So we'll take that back. I think it's a valuable input on the side of the conflict of interest. Thanks.
Yeah, I want to stress the conflict of interest. That must be very clear. I agree with what Mr. Felton said and the issue that he has raised. I'm also having that concern, serious concern. I see Cindy Sand and then Comrade Ngwenya.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think this is my last question. Chairperson, the Kela Ugwazi, Ugutubule Swissman, Enigezwe, the Kambas, Ingabe, the department, izobe isufezile yini wonke lo msebenzi njengoba iyehlulekile ukufeza ezinyangeni ezingaka from 2007 and manje uma baya extenda futhi ngo 6 months. Ngicela ukucacelwa kahle ukuthi ingabe bazobe sebaqedile yini ukwenza i-evaluation yabo.
Thanks, Cindy. Can you please help interpret or shape any one of you? Cindy, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. The question is, in the 6 months period given to the company, will the department be in a position to have completed its evaluation? After it had failed to do it over so many months.
Yeah. Thanks. Bishop?
Yeah, for certain. As a report, this is my for certain view. Welcome to the team. You know, the Democratic Valviet, for 1994.
Before
1994? But the Valviet, but the men, the men, but the Trommel self, kort gemaakt. Zeg voor mij, dat was duur of dat was goedkoper. Nou, van hier in de regering, is het duur om hele zelf te maken, is goedkoper om iemand voor te maken. Ik wil weten, wat is het gemaakt om dat, zoals ik het heb gevraagd, wat het gemaakt om dat? Laten we daar ook, zeker als daar ook een stijl gemaakt heeft, als het was duurder, misschien iedereen is goedkoper, ik denk dat ze goed is. Maar ik wil weten, dat was goedkoper of dat was duurder. Wat, hoe komt het gemaakt om, laten we nou, ons zoeken iedereen van die tijd daarin. Wat het al gemaakt? Dat was duur van, het was geen bezigheid, man. Als je change iets, je ziet nog iets is direct verloren. Je ziet nog, ik kan daarom paar tien rand. Je ziet nog wat ik wel weet. Nou manier wat erom nu gebruikt. Hij spaar iets. Oh, ons gebruik meer. Ik wil net dat zo voorzitter. Maar aan het ding, you know, I just correct something, because if I'm not mistaken, Commissioner Tizani, and ma'am, if one of them, she will say, Chairperson, you mustn't be angry, please. If I heard Chairperson correctly, he didn't say, I'm angry. He will say, unhappy, if I'm not mistaken. He didn't say, I'm angry, because angry and unhappy, according to me, is not the same thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Bishop. The first point that Bishop was making, what is the motivation for the department for using to outsource catering? He said before 1994, prisoners were used to cook, to do the catering. But what is, he's asking, is it cheaper? Is there value for money? Is it cheaper? What is the motivation for using this thing? They are, he's asking why the inmates not doing it themselves instead of outsourcing this thing. That is the question, Bishop.
Yes.
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 Your mic,
yeah. Section 8 of the Correctional Services Act, as recorded in Section 35(2)(e) of the Constitution, not refer or promote outsourcing of constitutional services. Instead, those sections give power and responsibility to the DCS. It's a common. I think we need to check that as well.
Can you repeat it?
Section 8,
yeah,
of the Correctional Services Act,
yeah,
as you quoted in Section 35(2)(e) mm-hmm. of the Constitution, yeah, do not refer or promote outsourcing of constitutional services. Instead, those sections give power and responsibility to the DCS as a State Department, not private companies. And we also said it in our document that was decreed in 1994, that we should guard against the outsourcing of the economy.
Just to add to that, Chairperson, we have for years, I certainly have, and the committee has as a whole, for years been saying we need to make these self-sufficient institutions. You cannot, you know, that's the place to begin. There's a job to be done. It gives people training, it develops skills. It saves money. I don't care how you look at it, it does save money. So besides the constitutional requirements, we've had an undertaking to move in that direction towards self-sufficient institutions. And I believe that the department's got to take that into account. And they've got to start developing in that manner.
Thank you, Mr. Sitton. Over to you, Department. I think that was the last question on this one. But Cindy, you have not asked. Oh, you have asked. All right, yeah. Cindy is covered. All right. Any responses?
Chairperson, yes. I think what I need to add, and the team can add something to this. It's important when you say before 1994, when the offenders, yes, indeed, the offenders were being utilized to prepare the food. But I think we need to take note that the department was and has been and will continue to go out on contract, because there's certain foods that we do not produce ourselves. So the correctional centers and the management areas, those, even those outside of the seven management areas, they go out on the tender process and they get quotations for maize and for things that we do not make ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that process has been going on for some time. But I think over the years, what has happened with the overcrowding, and unfortunately we didn't go through this entire presentation because you said we should skip it, because it has been done. But if you look at the rationale for the outsourcing, the overcrowding created a huge strain on our facilities and on our infrastructure, and on the staff as well. And because of a number of reasons as provided on pages 2 through to pages 3, there was obviously reasons provided for the outsourcing. But I think it comes back, Chairperson, to the same question that we're asking continuously. What were the exact reasons for going the route of outsourcing? And in the absence of a feasibility study, I think that would only be able to help us in the direct way on is it appropriate to go outsourcing or not. So that's how I'm reading the question, because it's all coming back to the very fundamental question. Why did we go the route of outsourcing, and is it the most viable option? And the feasibility study is going to hopefully help us to answer that question.
Yes. You see, if we are talking about it helps and overcrowding and what, why are no prisons?
Of course.
Seven inmates are sleeping in a single cell. The worst overcrowded prison, but there's no outsourcing on it. Okay. You see, if we are saying it will help, then we must take it to Choya. You see. So this feasibility study will help us to answer Bishop Dolo's question as well, because it's a very serious concern to all these members. Why are prisoners not working? Why are they not working? We are giving a tenders out now for outsourcing of kitchens. And Bishop, for your information and to the members, it's the very same inmate that is cooking.
Mm-hmm.
They are working.
Mm-hmm.
They are working. One person is sitting there in an office there, and he is checking and supervising and ordering the staff, and the very same inmates that have always done that for years is doing it now. They are still doing it. Yes,
Bishop. You say those people that make a profit with our own image.
That's the question that Mr. Kele have asked. The question Mr. Kele have asked, labor, who is paying labor out of this contract? It's the department that pays gratuity. We call it gratuity, no? Gratuity to them. The department is paying. Taxpayers' money are paying this very same inmate to do the cooking there. And the contractor is taking this money away, clean profit. All right, we'll come to that. We'll come to that. Yeah, we'll come when there's a feasibility.
But, Jefferson, you know, we visit another prison one day in the Eastern Cape there. I forgot the name of St. Alban, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
They will say they produce chicken
and the eggs
and meat,
yeah,
and also and beef also, all those things. And at the same time, in that place, they will say they have produced also a maize. You see?
Yeah.
And millimeter and all those things, you see.
Yeah.
But when she say some others don't have that,
Mr. Moodley.
Now I don't understand, because they will say some, when we ask a question, they say some others, they help some other prison. If they produce something here, they give another prison that side. But when they say they don't have some others, I don't understand, because you will say like that. Produce some other, for example, and trying to, they produce cabbage, bananas, and all those things, and they give some other person, and other person also they give some other, and so on and so on. But now I don't understand when they say we don't, some others we don't have that to produce those kinds of things. That's why we look at this thing of tender to help us and so on. I don't understand.
And they will respond, Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. No, I think, first of all, I must indicate that we welcome the inputs that have been made by the committee, because they are certainly going to be assisting the department and correcting them as we move forward. And actually, going back to what has been the vision, as the Honorable Sitton said, that it was about self-sufficiency. The same issues that the bishop is referring to, that we go back to analyze what went wrong in terms of that. We know other foodstuffs, it becomes a problem transporting them for longer hours. You need to have the appropriate vehicles and so on. So it's an investment on the infrastructure. If it's meat transported from one area where they are producing more pork or beef to transport it to other areas. So I think it's those issues. But I think overall the comment from our side is that just to welcome Chairperson, the inputs that have been made by the committee that are going to assist us, that in the evaluation, investigation, whatever intervention we have started as the department now to correct matters, that these issues would also be taken on board. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tertan. Ms. Moody, can you please switch off the mic? Thank you very much. Now, we will have a 5-minute break to have the next presentation. But you see, on this one, I must say on behalf of this committee that the committee is very much engaged with this whole process. I'm sure Mr. Tertan and the delegation, the members have expressed themselves of this thing. The issue that Mr. Self has raised about that committee, please look into that committee. Please address the concerns of the committee, because we can't repeat the same mistakes again. This issue of that committee, that's why I've asked smoothly, who is the chairperson of that committee? Is it Mr. Gillingham or herself? And she said she is going to. But you see, the inclusion of Mr. Gillingham in the whole process, what Mr. Self has said, the conflict of interest. Since this contract has started, Mr. Gillingham was part and parcel of this whole process. Now you are putting him in again, role player and a referee at the same time. So please address our concerns. We will definitely have a date. We will meet as a committee to have a date when we are going to call you for the feasibility study, the program of parliament in shortened, but we'll look for a date in this thing very soon, before the three months, because Ms. Nguyen raised the issue of why not 3 months. It's you, Ms. Nguyen, why not 3 months, the extension, but you have answered, and within no time, we will give you a date to say that come back and present the feasibility study on this. Is it T? If it is.
not there.
And also on the investigation.
Yeah, and also on the investigation. Also on the investigation. You have indicated, Ms. Mutlin and Mr. Zazan, that the whole thing is under investigation by an external body. We welcome that. I must. Our visitors, no? It's a meeting. No? We are still in a meeting. We want to say this. We welcome the investigation into this whole project, and not only this, but each and everything. And you must take this message to the commission. We want to commend you for looking into this thing, because it's very much important that when we deal with taxpayers' money, you see, all of us here are public representatives, and we, the budget of correctional services is coming in front of us, and we, the public out there in Limpopo, in Mpumalanga, are looking up to Bishop Tolo, to Cindy Chikunga. You see, they saw this thing in the Sunday paper, and they will ask Cindy, because she's in the Correctional Services Committee. They will ask her, "Oh, Cindy, what is going on here? Bishop Tolu, what is going? Civil citizens, what is going on here?" So, you must understand when we are asking this difficult question. We are not fighting. It's our responsibility to ask this question, and also to assist the department, what Mr. Zazani has said, to assist the department, not to make, to repeat mistakes that they have. I really want to emphasize this, that we as this portfolio committee will always put foot down to say that you must do the correct thing. Mr. Selvan, that I've quoted out of the PFMA, the constitution of the country, we are also bound by that constitution, bound by that PFMA. We can't do. If I will take my car and pass a red robot, they will arrest me. I am also part and parcel. I must abide by the laws of the country. Nobody will ever undermine the laws of the country. Let's break for 5 minutes, have some tea and coffee, and come back to the next presentation about this suspension. Thank you very much. That it will be a long session on this one.
maybe that must indicate to us, because I went through this thing. I know that Mr. Self also raised it before the meeting, this issue of suspension. And maybe if there is specific questions that Mr. Self or any other member wants to ask, members are free to raise those questions. But you remember in February we discussed this issue of this lot of suspensions, and for so long people are, I think the amount was 97 million or something like that at that time.
Nine point seven million rand
at that time. So Mr. Tesani must give us feedback on this one. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just as a preamble, it's always a difficult one to deal with the issues of suspension, balancing it with the need to deal with unwanted behavior or corruption related issues, and having people that you necessarily wouldn't want in the environment to compromise the employer in the wake of disciplinary processes unfolding. But in as much as that's a difficult area of focus, but I think the commitment needs to be there for us to say managers should not overextend and keep people out of work for longer periods than expected. Sometimes it's in the nature of the investigations that are being done, the nature of the transgressions that would force us to take longer than in other cases. And I think we've seen that in terms of the budget, in terms of the what we have spent on the suspension so far, is that it was 9.7 at the time we presented, and currently the stands, the first quarter of 2008 and 9 is at 2 million. But it's still a very high figure. 7 and 8, it had increased to a number of 509 suspensions, which was 15 million, going up from what it was. This is also influenced by the level of the people that you have. If people are at higher salary brackets, even if they are few, but the amount of money would be higher. And we have noticed that there are also people even at director's level that have been on suspension, which is quite a huge amount of money if you suspend a person at the director's salary level. So these are some of the issues that push the amount higher. But we've got a number of interventions that we've lined up. Maybe just to start with an indication of how we have fared in the first quarter up to 30 June, the 2.9 million that I've referred to, according to regions. If we look at head office, there are two suspensions at head office. I'm not sure whether. Yeah, that's on page 3, yeah. Head office amounting to 65,350. Then Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Northwest all together is 174 million. Gauteng is 543. The number of suspensions is 34 by end of June. And then KwaZulu-Natal, 35, the amount is 599,645. I think that's one of the regions where we've got a director that has been put on suspension as well. Then Free State and Northern Cape, 8, the amount is 87,000. Eastern Cape, it's 11, 42,000. Western Cape, 36 and the amount is 584. So that's the total. The one of the challenges that we experience, maybe just to say up front, is the monitoring. But what we've done right now, we are busy looking at options to get a software program that management areas can use, that we can link web-based, so that we can be able to monitor even at the national office. Because we rely on these statistics from submission from regions. Regions are the ones who are telling us, and the verification process is always a challenge. So I think that's one area that one can just highlight. Just looking at the cost analysis, I think the next slide, because I really want to focus on the cases that are outstanding for a longer period. The cost analysis indicates a downward trend and a slight decline in the 2007 and 8 financial year up to this point. And then the trends were influenced by a reduction in the number of suspensions from 165 in December to 136 in June 2008. And those pending for periods longer than 12 months from 41 to currently standing at 23. So that's the progress that we could report. And maybe then moving on, Chairperson, to the page number 5. There are two cases. We've tried to break down just to indicate what are the cases and what is the nature of the cases and what is happening. And we've checked out now because we want to monitor. We've asked the regions to give us even names so that we check as we follow up that it is the very same people that they have given us in terms of tracking. So we have got the names as well. One case that is now pending for 35 months relates to an unauthorized absence, and the other also pending for 35 months to theft of business money. Though these cases were still pending at the end of June 2008, both cases were finalized during July 2008, and the suspension subsequently has lifted. So when we look at the next quarter report, these shall have disappeared from our report. And then in Gauteng, we've got four cases pending longer than 12 months. One case of Johannesburg resulted in dismissal of possession of DACA, currently pending, awaiting the outcome of the appeal. Because there are two ways you can deal with that. It's either you keep the person there, and then when they go to the external remedies, CCMA, and say then the relationship was not, there was no breakdown in relationship if you have kept that person in employment, so rather keep them outside until the appeal is finalized. And the other case, Pretoria, for shooting and killing a probationer, the suspension was lifted on 30 June. And then two cases of Donner Vatter, one a sexual harassment case, it's at appeal stage, and the corruption relating to remunerative work outside the DCS without approval, that's awaiting a decision from the minister as the executing authority who has to provide and give that approval. So we've got the cases in terms of what exactly those cases were about. So if we look at the continuation of Gauteng cases, there's a case at Badian's court pending for 26 months, which involves a former head of prison, which was dismissed for gross negligence and breaching of internal security arrangements. The chairperson of the appeal withdrew, and new chairperson must be appointed to preside over the appeal. And the case at Leo Corp pending for 31 months, dismissed for contravening the DCS Act and regulations, awaiting the outcome of an appeal. And one case at Pretoria Central pending for 35 months, dismissed for receiving money from an inmate's family, also awaiting the outcome of an appeal. And there's a case involving two female employees from Pretoria, and it's now pending for 34 months, dismissed for theft of a fellow employee's credit card. Is awaiting outcome of the labor court judgment, but these people are still on suspension. And one case of Pretoria Central pending for 35 months, dismissed for negligence that led to escape of an inmate. The employee has been reinstated during June 2008, and now the suspension has been lifted. And the case at Sonavater pending for 30 months, dismissed for breaching security measures, the hostage incident during 2005, the dismissal upheld on appeal. So that case will disappear now from suspension. So the person has been dismissed. Free State is only one case. Kronstadt Medium B Center pending for 15 months. The dismissed for sexual activity with an inmate. Dismissal was upheld and appealed, and services terminated during June
2008. Having
23
children dismissed.
Yeah, it is a notorious case in Kronstadt.
23, a young boy.
He's a very young guy, handsome, and she.
I know he's.
Yeah. So outside and in the center as well.
He's a bull. He's having 23 and he is run about in the mid 30s. 23 children.
Some with really female offenders and others with people outside. Yeah, and I think the case that led to dismissal.
Was
impregnated
an inmate. He's a fool. He said, man is dangerous. You know, he's an inmate. I mean, he's a prison warder. They said he must look after these people, and he is doing the thing that I call it. He's dangerous.
In case there's a case that's an amber pending for 14 months, and the person was dismissed for smuggling money to an inmate, and the case is now dealt with by code enforcement, our internal processes. And we are awaiting the outcome of an appeal currently. And it was also it's money that was received from SAPS to an inmate. So they were caught in the action. KZN, we've got seven cases. Chairperson, one pending for 23 months. It's a dismissal on breaching internal security, and is awaiting appeal hearing. And 18 months, two cases at Durban Westville, also awaiting appeal. And 14 months, the person has been dismissed for dealing in alcohol on the premises of the correctional services. And three cases at Durban Westville pending for 23 months, dismissed for breaching internal security. Awaiting outcome of appeal. Reaching internal security could also be aiding escape and issues like that. Yeah. Continuing with KZN, one case at Vattenfall is 40 months pending now, dismissed for fraud, awaiting outcome of appeal. The appeal landed to the Regional Commission once again on 8 August for a decision. And the case at Devon, a female center pending for 26 months, the dismissal for gross negligence pending outcome of an appeal hearing. Just to indicate, to share with the committee, the challenges you face is that when a dismissal is challenged, then the representative will postpone, and you end up not getting the appeal. Process is finalized on time, and then it drags. Or even for the hearings, sometimes the people would buy time, and they would have a representative, and then the representative doesn't show up the other day, the person reports sick. So these are some of the challenges you face, and they lead to these cases dragging and dragging. So some of the interventions in trying to manage the suspensions is the training that we've been conducting on the disciplinary code procedure in all the regions, and the aim was to increase capacity in the DCA. This training included management of suspensions, abiding by time frames of suspensions, as well as the sanctions that will be imposed on managers who fail to effectively manage suspensions. 500 managers have been trained already on the management of discipline. And the training would continue this year. To train, the target is to train another 500 for this year. And we are in the process of reallocating funding from internal, because the relevant component has run out of funding. But what we are doing also, Chairperson, on this, is that we are doing impact assessment study from HRD side, an impact assessment of saying, where are these people that were trained? And are they being used for investigations to chair these panels? Because sometimes people would be sent for training. When they go back, they work on other things, and you find others now trying the cases. So we are busy with the process of doing an impact assessment from HRD. They finalized the survey questionnaire. It needs final touches here and there. And then we'll do that assessment in all the regions. And the emphasis in the monitoring of suspensions is placed on information management. Regional management needs to keep track on suspensions. In this instance, this is the process we are putting in place, a computerized process. We've got a system that is working, but the procurement of which has been, in fact, it was designed by a correctional officer who then left. So some regions where he worked and instituted it is working. It's working very well because it monitors even the allowances, that once a person is on suspension, then it cuts everything that is linked to a person being available at work, even the allowances that are due to them and so on. The system automatically cuts. So we're looking at, together with our IT and the CETA, to get a process rolling to have that integrated system. A monitoring tool has been developed for RCs and ACs, that is regional commissioners and area commissioners, to monitor suspensions in their own areas. This tool involves the management and monthly submission of employee relations management information system, which is a challenge, as I said, because it's done manually. And there would be a number of errors that you would pick up as one tries to reconcile the statistics. And it includes information on suspensions, time frames of suspensions, the management area, and also submitting to head office. This allows for the identification of red flag areas and determination of timers intervention. On interventions as well, head office personnel have during April to June 2008 conducted monitoring visits in regions. These visits are aimed not only at monitoring but empowering area coordinators, regional coordinators, employee relations, the employees and within human resources on the management of the employee relations management information system. So far, KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, LMN, and Gauteng have been visited. The remaining regions will be visited during the remainder of the year. Presentations were tabled and discussed at the past two meetings of the Regional Commissioners Forum, because the Commissioner has established the Regional Commissioners Forum to hold them to account, to have an opportunity where regional commissioners could be in a position to account. That's the presentation, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tetani. Members, there's a presentation. Any questions, Ms. Chikunga, Mr. Sal, Ms. Sitter, and Ms. Mende?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I have just a few questions. The first one will be on some of these charges. The Mpumalanga Limpopo Northwest one will be saying relates to unauthorized absence and to theft of prisoner's money. And for me, theft is a criminal offense. Are these cases reported to police or courts for this to follow such procedures, other than the one that takes place within the department? And the very first one from Mpumalanga, I'm interested to know as to what was the verdict, were these people found guilty or not. Because if you look at 35 months of suspension, that is almost 3 years. With the full pay, I want to believe. And ultimately, is the person found guilty or not guilty? That will be my question. And Chairperson, the last one will be on the training that has subsequently been given or offered to the managers to say if they do not adhere to time frames and so on, some sanctions will be imposed. And I just want to check as to when the department is going to start imposing those sanctions so that it's not something that is said but it's something that is implemented so that people who do not adhere to time frames, managers for that matter, are also sanctioned so that they can attend. Because as far as I'm concerned, unauthorized absence, 35 months. I can't make sense out of that. Read. I really can't make sense out of that. Why a person who's been absent from work is suspended with full pay for 35 months, 3 years? I mean, really, it doesn't make any sense. And what do we do about people who just do these very silly things? Because for me, really, this is very silly. Unless I don't know as to why it had to take so long to know exactly what to do with this person. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chikunga. Mr. Sells?
Yes, thank you. My first question really flows from Chikunga's question. That is that I understood from the last briefing that we had from the National Commissioner that there was a more streamlined process now. And that the once the initial stages had been gone through of a disciplinary hearing, that subsequently the person could be dismissed and then the appeal process would then reinstate that person if the appeal process was successful. I'd like to know what's happening about the implementation of the streamlined process and what has been the impact. My second question is this. I'm intrigued if you say that there is a downward trend and slight decline, because if I look at the figures, and obviously this depends at the level at which you're suspending people, you've got more people, more new cases than you're finalizing cases. And all things being equal, that's going to be an upward trend. So it all depends on how quickly you can dispose of these things finally to get them out of the system. Otherwise, you're constantly going to be playing catch-up. And that brings me to the actual case studies that you referred to. I mean, a lot of these things, the suspensions were subsequently lifted. I mean, the LMN1, 35 months, 3 years, nearly 3 years, and then the suspensions were lifted. And then Gauteng, more than 12 months, then the suspension was lifted. Now, does that mean that it was lifted because the person was dismissed, or does it mean that they were then subsequently found not guilty and then put back into service? In which case, you know, that's a huge waste of resources. But also on that, a lot of these things are awaiting an outcome of an appeal, awaiting a decision of the minister, awaiting this, awaiting that. Now, I hear what you say about people, you know, like, you know, people abusing the processes of justice to string these things out. I hear that. But on other cases, I mean, this is something that we can do something about. I mean, we can hurry up that process by which people have to give decisions, so that it doesn't become such an elongated process. Thank you.
Chairperson, my questions have basically been dealt with by Chikunga and Mr. Salt. But it is concerning that we have these matters outstanding for so long. It's nonsense. 35, 36 months, we shouldn't be taking that long to deal with these matters. When somebody's on suspended pay, a matter should be dealt with very, very rapidly, not dragged out like this. And I do think something needs to be done about it. I do not think that it's acceptable that we have this sort of, and especially in great numbers. But the other questions have all been dealt with. Thank you.
Thank you, Mangwen.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got three questions, Chairperson. How do you manage a suspension and why? What mechanism in place to reduce the risk of the possible interference with the due process by manager? The last one, what mechanism in place to reduce escalation of cost during suspension? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mangwe. Thanks. Over to you, Mr. Tepa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, no, thanks. Maybe just as a general response, the most of the cases that we're saying are awaiting the outcome of an appeal. May have been cases that have been dragging during investigations and hearing processes and so on, and a decision is taken. Because in the same cases that are referred to, the person was dismissed. The processes were completed. Maybe what one needs to make a distinction is when the case was finalized, and then look at when there was the appeal lodged for finalization. Maybe that distinction would have to be made, because we're taking it, including the whole process, up to a point when an appeal is lodged and the person is still on suspension. And then subsequent to that, to say then what happened to the appeal, whether the appeal process is still running, and then after finalization where suspensions have been lifted, maybe to tap that information from management areas, which currently I don't have as part of my report. It's something that I think we would need to look at, to say how do we make the distinction, when did the case itself take place and the person dismissed, and how did it, when did we start with the appeal process, and whether we're speeding up the appeal process itself. The issue of the cases that have to be theft cases, usually the process is that we open a case internally and we also report to the police, but the processes are not dependent on each other. We can finalize ours even if the person is acquitted, although sometimes when they are acquitted in court, that becomes the basis for their appeal and further processes, to say if the court didn't find me guilty, so why did the department, there's a vendetta against me and so on. Although it's a balance on probabilities, and then the court is beyond reasonable doubt in terms of proving the one or the other. So I think the cases are reported. We open a case and then we also start with a process internally. The issue of the sanctions that would be imposed, as you can see that the process that we have started is a recent process. There have not been any sanctions that have been imposed on managers who fail to do this. But from now on, because we've done the empowerment, we've indicated to them what would happen, what would be the consequences for not acting. I think in our next round, when we do our assessment, would be to identify those people who negligently do not take action where they need to take action to close the cases much faster, and then pin those down. So it's a process that we're still going to go into, ma'am. We don't have a report that we can table for now. Then the issue that's raised by Mr. Self on the streamlined process, indeed this is the process that we are trying to empower them on right now. As I'm saying, that we also need a computerized process where that can assist managers. Otherwise, the processes are very manual in terms of dealing with that. But yes, the process is streamlined, but it has not been fully effective in terms of implementation, because it's a fairly new process that we have started, but we're hoping to see results as we go on. and we welcome the analysis that you have made that the new cases, the time we take in reducing the old cases vis-a-vis the new cases that are being registered. Maybe we would need to put a monitor at that point of saying, let's prevent, let's stop the influx whilst we're dealing with this, but not neglecting our responsibility to act responsibly as a department where we need to act responsibly. The concern is noted. I've seen it for a long time. I think they are much more similar, and I think it's the process that we have started, fairly new process we have started, we may see results as we go forward in this instance. The manner in which we manage the issue of suspensions, we've now referred it back to the regional. In fact, it's managed at regional level. Where we've seen good progress is where managers have put it as a standing item on their as an agenda item in their meetings. Then area commissioners come to report when they have a regional meeting. Area commissioners report to say, you had the following suspensions, so many suspensions. What interventions have you put in place? How far are you going with that? Particularly Western Cape has been successful in dealing with that, because that's how they were dealing with their suspensions. Hence they went down drastically. So it's the regions per se. It's managed at management area level. They've got registers where they register. But because these things are done manually, sometimes information falls through the cracks. And that's what we are trying to improve on right now. And we're hopeful that if we are successful in reducing those suspensions, we would make an impact in reducing the escalating cost around suspensions. Thanks.
Thank you very much indeed. Just a brief correction. I was intending for 1 minute that you should not suspend people who are I'm just saying that what you need to do is you need to deal with these things as expeditiously as possible, otherwise you're not going to be able to catch up. But I did want to ask very specifically, the Gauteng report refers to a number of outstanding cases for longer than 12 months. I don't see the people who were suspended at Pretoria CMAX who assisted with that escape, or allegedly assisted with that escape. Does that mean to say that those cases have been finalized, or what does it mean? Thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Where is the CMAX? Sandra.
I'm trying to check my notes here, Chairperson. Is no report from Gauteng in that regard. We can follow that up and just to check that, just to find the information on what happened, whether those cases have been finalized or what. But it's not reflecting here on the report I have from Gauteng.
Members, you know, I want us after this for members to stay there, and so that we must have our own meeting. Even if it is for 10 minutes or 15 minutes to finalize the issue of this contract, we must discuss it, what is the way forward. But Mr. Tetan, it was 9.7 million when we met in February.
Yes.
What is the amount now? 2 million.
Yes, from that time it went up, and then in the first quarter, our assessment up to now, it indicates 2 million. But there are long outstanding suspensions that may push.
So what other words, it came down, or what? What is the indication?
Not really that it came down, because from 9.7 it went to
15.
To 15. The 2.9 is just for the 3 months.
So it went up?
It went up,
okay.
It went up, yes.
Any other follow-up question, Bishop?
Yeah, Chairperson. You know, I just find out from the Chairperson about the department. Can you help us, department? There is one of these people who was corrupt in the department who in prison now, or not? And another question, Jefferson. This lady in the Eastern Cape, where she got pregnant with a image. How far that case of that our sister? And and in KwaZulu Natal, with that prison there, KwaZulu Natal, in Pange, yes,
yeah.
Where the Kalagabu, that's right, where the member they would say goodbye to you. You know, Jefferson, I remember, I think 2 or 3 months back, I was asking the same question. I would say I'm asking the department, because this thing of escape and suspension, not from now, from long time ago, we are talking about these things, you know. When the commissioner, it was a team, we were asking the same thing. We don't even know those people who committed corrupt in the prison. Where are those people? Imagine those kind of things. Because if there is no one in prison now, sentence, maybe life sentence in prison, we must just forget, because we are just talking, they will do it, they will do their law, they are going to just suspend, from there they are going to continue. Is it? And it's a question mark. I'm wrong. Oh. You know, it's a question mark, because if somebody now can go there and check us, steal a cup, like that lady in Eastern Cape, steal the 99 rand shoes of children, 1 year in prison. 1, 2, 3. But why in prison when somebody committed this kind of problem? We fight with a crime, but there's some people who commit a crime, but we don't even see in the TV they say this man was to commit a crime, 1, 2, 3, tomorrow is going to court, what was the sentence? So we don't even see. Why is it like that? That's why I was saying, Jefferson, the time of before Ms. Tolle, that short man, Tolle, Kulegan Tolle, it was these things always. You know, we are just talking about them. Till now, we are talking about these things. As if some people, they are protected, I don't know how. Because we once see in the court, they say, this man or this mom, she committed corrupt in prison, now it's in the court, and then so many months or so many years in prison. But we don't see. Why? Because if we you find the police, they arrest a dangerous criminal, but there is some other one. Let me not talk that one, because I remember Shepard said that one, they say international criminal. Let me just keep quiet, because they will say, we mustn't talk about it. No, in Johannesburg somewhere, you know better than me. That's right, yes.
No, we are going to deal with it on Friday.
Okay.
You have a case, you can mention it.
That's right. Because we don't understand, Jefferson. These things we must look into. You see, today they give us report. How many of them are in prison now? Official or corrupt. How many of them are in prison? Which means, I understand, you'll find some others, there's no proof. But some others, there's a proof. Like that sister, she was pregnant, there's a proof. You can't say we look at proof. Like those in KwaZulu Natal, in Kalagabusha, they will say goodbye, it's a proof. We can't say we make an investigation. When we are saying we are making investigation, what can investigation be? Because we saw with our eyes, say goodbye. Now, I just find out, Chairperson, why is it like that in correctional services? Thank you very much.
I just want to confirm, given that there are no long-standing suspensions in the Western Cape, do you take it for certain now the matter of Jacques Horn have been finalized and there are no members still under suspension in that situation?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are also going to deal with that one on Friday.
Yes, I know.
Yes, yeah. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. No, thanks. I think the stance that the commission has taken on in some of these cases, calling the regional commissioners to come and account. I think it would also help a great deal, because we rely on the commissioner relies on information that he receives from regional commissioners, and he will report and report. I think it's a positive move that would assist and support the commissioner in the accountability role that he has to play in that regard. Yes, we hear it's just that some of the issues, some of the cases, you may find that people were charged for this and it is they win the case and it's quiet about it. Indeed, the Honorable Bishop, that some of the cases people do get are found guilty and they are sentenced to prison sentence. They are somewhere in some of our centers. Maybe it's some of the reports that we need to bring forward. You know, in KZN, we have those incidents of some of the corrupt elements that were there some years back, and they are at Costa, some of them. Some are really in prison. But maybe we need to isolate those cases where officials are involved and what actually happened finally with those cases. But pursuing cases like the Jack Horn case as well, I think would begin to indicate that the regional commissioners would need to pull up their socks in terms of dealing with some of the major cases. The issues of Mbangeni as well, I will follow that up, because indeed they are not reflecting here. CMAX issues are not reflecting. So, and the Crookers of One as well. Of course, the officials have been apprehended, those in Krugersdorp in the custody of the police. We're not sure whether they got bail or what. So those are some of the cases we are saying we need to list of the major incidents that happened in the country and track them for the public to know that we are really serious about issues of corruption and report them to the committee as well. Thanks.
Thank you very much. The pregnant lady also.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
You see, the issue that Bishop Tolo is raising and that you are talking about now is very much important for the public. You see, Bishop Tolo don't want to have that information for him, but for the public out there, to show the public that we are serious in rooting out corruption in correctional services. The second point that Bishop is raising, there is no such a thing of two laws in one country. The other one can commit crime and is getting away with that crime, and the others are being sentenced. The very same people, and I know that magistrates and judges are very harsh when it comes to a police and a correctional official. When that correctional official have done something wrong, the magistrate will sentence him very harsh if he's been found guilty. So this type of information, we must get this information so that we can show that this official, you see, Gomba, the issue of Gomba and Denise, the CMAX killing, what happened to those guys? Nothing. We don't know what the person who smuggled in the gun there. The issue of Babiansburg, where these two ladies were raped there. I know that the officials were suspended as well in that case. But that is the issue that Bishop is raising here. But I hope we will sit now with the committee to strategize the way forward on both matters. I think that both matters are serious for us to discuss and plan what is the way forward now. But let me thank the commissioners, present chief deputy commissioners, I must get it right, chief deputy commissioners, led by Mr. Tezan and Ms. Moody. Thank you very much for briefing us. We are not fighting. You understand that we are having this responsibility to to really check what is going on in the department. Tell the commissioner that on Friday as well, we want the truth and nothing but the truth on these two ex-cases. The one, the La Corte one, and the one of Mr. Horn. We want not to have another meeting. We want to finalize it on Friday. If there's anything that they are going to hide to us, we are going to sit for the whole day until the truth is coming out. But members, thank you very much. Correctional Service, thank you very much. You are invited for lunch. There's lunch out there. Members, maybe we must break for and take something to eat, and then we can sit for 15 minutes and have our meeting, so that we must take decisions on the first meeting and end this one. Thank you very much. You can have something to eat.
Thank you.